friend and I were talking this week about the things that most deeply draw us to birding and how many individual birds we remember. And that, of course, started bringing individual birds to my mind. There was the pileated woodpecker I could hear digging into my box elder tree, which has several rotten limbs. When I heard him banging away, I looked out my upstairs window, just a few feet from the tree's trunk, but the pileated was hidden on the back side of the tree. He had been working on a decrepit section of limb that was peculiarly flattened. The hollow sounds that he was hearing as he tapped apparently gave him no clue that this limb had no rotten inner chamber suitable for excavating a roost hole. It was so flattened that suddenly the pileated broke all the way through. He was not expecting that. Rather than looking into the deep, dark interior of the tree, he was looking right at me. He raised his crest up and down in shock, shook his head in disbelief, and looked all around, trying to figure out what had gone wrong. Then out of frustration or anger or maybe what ethologists call displacement behavior, he started really hammering the tree. Unfortunately, he picked a spot that was only 6 inches above the first spot where the limb was just as flat, and within seconds he broke through all over again. The look of surprise on his face, the funny way he raised and lowered his crest, kept me laughing long after he flew away. Before we made that room into my home office, it had served as our bedroom, with the head of our bed right beneath the window. One spring, a pair of red-breasted nuthatches nested in that same box elder tree. Every morning I woke up to their endearing beep-beeps. One morning they sounded more agitated, and I heard strange voices, too. I sat up and looked out to see a pair of starlings examining the nuthatch's cavity entrance. I cranked open the window, yelling at them, and off they flew. But they came back again and again. I was a stay-at-home mother at the time, and so I could listen for the starlings or for my nuthatch's distress calls all day long, and I spent a lot of time running up the stairs to shoo the starlings away. But for several days, each morning I awoke to an altercation, and finally the nuthatches gave up and moved into another tree. Ironically, when they moved out, the starlings lost interest and moved on too. I felt bereft. But the following year, a pair of chickadees nested there. Chickadees select mates that are pretty much equals on the chickadee flock dominance hierarchy, and this pair apparently occupied the bottom rung. The male had scar tissue or some other problem with the left side of his face that made the feathers on his cheek through the corner of his eye grow in backwards. Rather than giving him the sleek, round-headed look chickadees are supposed to have, his facial feathers on that side jutted forward. And the female had apparently had a close encounter with some predator who'd ripped out her tail feathers. The two of them set up housekeeping in my tree, and every morning when I awoke, I'd set mealworms in an acrylic window feeder just for them. Soon they recognized the sound of the window being cranked open and would sit on the closest branch waiting for breakfast. When she started incubating, I could watch him call her, grab mealworms for her, and the moment she emerged from the cavity, he'd feed her. When the babies hatched, I could watch the parents both bring mealworms into the cavity. Within a couple of weeks or so, when the babies reached the point where they were climbing to the entrance to beg, I got to watch them getting fed. Meanwhile, the female started growing in new tail feathers, and just before the babies fledged, the male started molting his face feathers. This time, the new ones grew in straight. So I lost my way of recognizing the two of them, and by the time they had rejoined the neighborhood chickadee flock, I couldn't keep track of them anymore. But it was cool to have felt a bond with them for a couple of months, and to have felt like I had played an important part in their successful child rearing. These are just a few of the wild birds I have known. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.